Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
That was some Brewers baseball right there. 2-0 the victory over the Angels here to wrap up the series. They win their fourth consecutive series after getting swept by the Phillies. Four straight. Detroit, Toronto, Cincinnati, and now Los Angeles. And it's on to San Diego for a four-game set with the Friars. Maybe you're catching them at a vulnerable time. We'll talk about them a little bit later on in the program. The story today is Freddy Peralta. And I want to spend a whole segment just breaking down his start and the numbers that jump out to me of what made him so successful tonight and why tonight was the night that it all clicked for him. But another thing to note, it wasn't like a crazy great game with runners in scoring position again. They didn't even give themselves a ton of opportunities. I do want to tip my cap to Tyler Anderson. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Brewers pitchers, or Brewers fans, know what good pitching looks like and what poor offense looks like. That was getting beat by good pitching. Tyler Anderson looked good tonight. Really good. And there's a reason why he's fifth in all of baseball in innings pitched, because it seems so simple, being really a two-trick pony with the fastball and the changeup. He threw a few more cutters and sliders today than usual. I mean, it was really his own doing in the first inning, walking the first batter of the game on four pitches, an infield hit to William Contreras, a ground out move the runners over, and then another walk to Adames loading the bases. And Hoskins hit the ball hard a few times today. You can sense that he's near breaking out of this funk that he's in, but he hit the sacrifice fly in the first inning to give Freddie a little bit of breathing room. Freddie took that and ran with it. Talked about that tough second inning for him. The Brewers added some insurance in the eighth inning in the form of a broken bat stoink off the bat of Willy Adames. That was the only hit with a runner in scoring position tonight for the Brewers. So they go 1-for-4 tonight, granted a sack fly and a couple of walks with runners in scoring position. So you add it up, since last Monday, the Brewers are now 9 for their last 76. 9 for their last 76. That is a 118 batting average. And yet, they have won 3 series since last Monday. They are 6-3 since last Monday, despite being a 118 team with runners in scoring position. I think that's why I say that this is Brewers baseball. And it doesn't matter. They don't need to score 7 runs. We know they're capable of doing it. They also can get the days like tonight when Freddy Peralta pitches like the top-line pitcher that he is. And even yet, there was room for improvement for Freddy, and I'll break that down in the next segment. When the Brewers do two things well, pitching and defense, a shutout obviously got the job done. And I know the Angels' offense isn't the most intimidating offense in the world. There are big league hitters on the other side. And the Brewers, their MO is going to keep you down. They're going to keep you in check. You go back to Monday, the Brewers, yes, they gave up 5 runs in that game. There was also an error, kind of a sloppy game for the Brewers, a couple outs on the base paths. They went 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. It was not their prettiest game. They gave up 5 runs on Monday, right? Last night, they gave up 3 runs in garbage time, and the guy who gave up those 3 runs was DFA'd today in Eliezer Hernandez. And then today, they click it into gear with all A guys, shut them out. 4th shutout of the year for the Brewers. It went to Freddie, it went to Hudson, and then it went to McGill. Also, shout out to Trevor McGill getting right back on the horse. Give up a little bit of loud contact again tonight, but he got the job done. Brian Hudson, it's almost impossible for setup men to be all-stars because obviously fans don't vote for pitchers. But man, he's the closest thing you're going to get to a non-closer reliever all-star, and he continues to impress. His ERA this season, as I'm pulling up the box score from today's game, his ERA has fallen to a 0.90. It's below 1 again. 2 innings, 1 hit, 1 strikeout. Ho-hum. No big deal. Brian Hudson. It was his 11th hold of the season. McGill's got 15 saves all of a sudden. And he wasn't even the guy closing games in the beginning of the year. I mean, in fact, McGill, he didn't even get his first save of the year until April 25th, and that was out of necessity because of Abner Uribe or Pyomps wasn't available that day. And then he really took hold of the closer role in May when he had five straight outings in which he recorded a save, and he's really held on to it ever since. But then he had the ball that hit off of his arm at the end of May against the Cubs. Had to miss a couple of days for that. They didn't want to put him in the closing in a save situation until about a week and a half later, and since then he has now converted six more consecutive saves. And since that quote-unquote blown save, and even then I kind of put air quotes around it for McGill, because that was the play that Churio didn't die for and pulled up on in Miami with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning. Because he is now 15 for 16 in save opportunities, with that one blown save being the one in Miami. Pretty solid stuff for a team that is still waiting on Devin Williams to return. And again, Brian Hudson was awesome. They got just enough from the offense. We can sit here and complain about not getting enough offense, but I'm not going to do that tonight. We are going to break down Freddie Peralta's start here in just a moment. 855-616-1620. If you want to join us, 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Let's talk Freddie coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
It's Brewers.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Rolling on here with the program. Just getting going here. Late night Brew Crew for a couple more nights. And we'll do it again over the week of 4th of July when the Brewers go to L.A. and Colorado. Tonight, it's another win. 2-0 over the Angels. They take 2 out of 3 at the Big A. First time the Brewers have been to the Big A in 5 years, since 2019. Let's talk about Freddie, shall we? The final line doesn't really tell you the whole story, because it was still a good final line. 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, 101 pitches, only 59 strikes, and 18 swings and misses. What did I like about Freddie today? He clicked it in the gear in the middle portion of this game. He found a new gear. He was starting to attack a little more efficiently in this game, which has always been sort of the Achilles heel of Freddie, right? It's cool to be a strikeout pitcher, and I do not want to take that away from Freddie in the slightest. Strikeouts are cool. Swing and miss is good. And sometimes it takes 6 innings, and that's all you can get out of him because he has to throw so many pitches to get strikeouts. Sometimes that's okay. On a night like tonight, that's okay. But you can sit here and say, look at the attacks from the first couple of innings to the middle portion of the game, right? In the first inning, the first 5 batters of the game, 4 of them got a first pitch ball. Okay, this is something we're always monitoring with Freddie Peralta. When he added it all up at the end of the day today, one of the things that we really are kind of highlighting is, yes, it was a good start, but yet he only threw a first pitch strike to 10 out of 23 batters. If you're less than 50%, that's no bueno. The fact that they only walked 2 batters today was huge. I mean, he had 1, 2, 3 3-0 counts tonight. Only one of them resulted in a walk. So that's playing with fire right there. He had 6 2-0 counts, and 1, 2 of those 2-0 counts reached base. Eventually, later on in the count. I mean, again, you're playing with fire. Maybe against a more elite offense, with all due respect to the Angels, it would be a different story. However, I look at that second inning for Freddie Peralta tonight. He got 3 strikeouts. He had a leadoff walk in the frame, okay? It's his first time through the order. The Brewers have a 1-0 lead. He walks Kevin Pillar on 7 pitches. That's fine. Okay, no big deal. Falls behind on a Logan Ohapi 3-0. And you're thinking, man, what's going on here? He comes back to strike him out on 3 consecutive pitches. Gets him on an elevated fastball. So that's 6 pitches. That's 13 pitches to 2 batters. Stay with me here. Matt Feist, the next batter, a lefty. He gets ahead of him 0-2, and on that second pitch, Pilar steals second. So 0-2, man on second and one out in a one-run game. He starts to nibble, starts to miss badly, gets a couple foul balls, turns into a 9-pitch at-bat, and Feist eventually strikes out on a changeup. Good pitch. Then Zach Neto comes up. Once again, gets ahead of him 0-2. Nibbles, doesn't get in the chase on back-to-back pitches. Then he goes back to the changeup, and maybe the best changeup he threw all night. Got him swinging. And that was the at-bat, in my opinion. The Neto strikeout, a right-on-right changeup, is what got him going. Of the 18 swings and misses that Freddie got tonight, four of them were on the change. And two of those four were to righties. That's something I'm monitoring to see if it continues to be an uptick for Freddie Peralta. The right-on-right changeup is a rarity because, A, if you mis-execute a right-on-right changeup, it's going to go right into the hitter's barrel, right? If you miss in the middle of the zone with that, it's just going to kind of flutter ball it in right in there. The reason why you throw it to lefties is because it really pairs well with your fastball from that angle, and it has some fade to it, what we call arm-side movement to it. And if you're a right-handed pitcher like Freddie, that's moving away from a lefty into a righty if you execute it well. When you look at his season, Freddie has thrown more right-on-right changeups slowly creeping up throughout the year. I'm not saying he has to totally flip his repertoire and start forget the slider, let's just throw changeups more. But if you can throw something else for the batter to think about, because they're starting to eliminate his slider. He hasn't been doing a great job of catching the zone. I mean, he does have a good dot on the bottom right corner, but he's hung it a few times. The curveball has not been a great pitch for him this season. He's virtually scrapped it from my eyes. The slider gets a little wide sometimes and gets a little below the zone, and he doesn't get that chase that he wants where it starts too far outside and bends away. He hasn't found that lane where it starts on the inner third and ends up on the outside corner and buckles a hitter. He hasn't had that really since the first few starts of the year. One thing you can do to help that slider, especially against righties, is just, surprise, here's a changeup. Because they're going to be so shocked by it, and if you execute it well, it's such a change of pace, literally in the name, with a guy that throws 94 to 97, and that changeup, it's firm, 87 to 90, we've seen it. But I look at his contour page here on Savant, I look at where he's delivering it, always low. There hasn't been damage against it, for righties in particular. Coming into tonight, righties are just 1-for-7 on that pitch with 5 strikeouts, so he's using it well already. But tonight might have been a sign maybe he's going to start sprinkling in a little bit more. I really like that idea for Freddie Peralta. He got 10 swings and misses against lefties, too. Majority of them, though, on the fastball. Matt Feist swung and missed a couple of times. That bottom third of the order is where Freddie really made his money tonight. Against Freddie, from 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, Ohapi, 0-for-3 with 2 strikeouts. Theis, 0-for-2 with 2 strikeouts. Neto, 0-for-2 with a strikeout. Moniak, 0-for-2 with a strikeout. Guillorme, he had a hit on a single tonight, but it was a rollover ground ball up the middle. If that's all the contact you're allowing against the changeup, and mind you, Guillorme's a lefty, maybe start to flash it a little bit more, pair that with the changeup, or pair that with the fastball, and you're good. Guillorme was the only one who had a hit below the fifth spot in the order. He went 1-for-2 against Freddie. So there are still signs in there. It's like, okay, it's in there. And there's still things to work on for Freddie to try to get back to that form that he was in earlier in the season. And I brought this up in his last start, and I'll bring it up again here today. Through 14 starts last year, and tonight was his 15th start of this season, so the previous 14 starts, his ERA is within 0.2 of a run of last year's at this point. His innings pitched is virtually the same. He's averaging nearly 2 more strikeouts per 9 this season as opposed to last season in the first 14 starts. And yet the walks are virtually the same, a little over 3 walks per 9. The home runs are virtually the same, 14 last year, 11 this year. Batting average within reason, 241 last year, 228 this year, so 13 points technically better. But if this is the start that gets him back on track, this is kind of the unofficial halfway point for starters. You're going to make 32, 34 starts if you're the opening day starter like Freddie is. Today was start number 15. You're almost at the halfway point. Last season at his halfway point, 4.60 to start the year. His last 16 starts, a full run and a half less, 3.22, a little less than a run and a half. But his strikeouts per nine went up by 3, and his walks per nine went down by 1. That's what I'm going to monitor. Freddie had 2 walks today, both to Kevin Pillar. The second one I could forgive because it looked like he might have been pitching around a guy. But there were signs tonight from Freddie when he can rein in that big miss, right? When that fastball is completely uncompetitive. In the words of Pat Murphy, I want to tase him. That's Pat Murphy's quote, not mine. But it's the truth. Your stuff's so good, Freddie. Keep it around the zone. You're going to get swing and miss on it. It's not that simple. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you if it was that simple, right? But I was really encouraged with what Freddie did tonight. If you're up late with us, let me know what you think. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Freddie earns the victory tonight. The Brewers win 2-0 over the Angels. We'll talk a little bit about the offense, who's about to click, and something I really liked from a veteran tonight. Not who you're thinking. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
So a 2-0 win for the Brewers. Dom, why do you want to talk about the offense? What are you encouraged about in this one? Like I said in the first segment, Tyler Anderson was really good tonight. He went 7 innings, only allowing 1 run himself, and then the terrible Angels bullpen gave an insurance run for the Brewers in the 8th inning. But, again, Reese showed signs. But one thing I really love tonight, Christian Yelich, he keeps doing the little things, man. And he hits number 200 last night. And we got word that one of the things that happened yesterday after getting number 200, a first for him, was getting a beer shower. And in case you're wondering, what the heck is a beer shower? This is normally customary for like rookies when you get your first hit or a pitcher who gets his first win or your first save, whatever it may be. What will happen is generally before media arrives, sometimes after, they bring you to the shower, they throw you in the laundry cart, and they grab all the beers wherever they can get them from, and you get a beer shower. And you think, oh, why is that a big deal, Don? Well, it's kind of a team camaraderie moment, and it's a real, like, passing of the torch, a silly little tradition of these boys that baseball has been doing for a long time. And Yelly revealed he had never gotten a beer shower back when he was in Miami, when he had got his first hit or his first homer or anything like that. So getting number 200 last night, the Brewers decided to give him a beer shower. And how does he reward them today? Is he gets a hustle double in the 3rd inning on a soft base hit to right field that most players, that would have been a single. He draws a 2-out walk in the 8th inning, steals second base, and then scores on that stroink from Willie Adames. He obviously doesn't score if he does not steal second base. All that with 2 outs. That is your leader of this team. That is your guy that is setting the example for this next generation behind him. For the Sal Frelick in center, for Churio in right, for Ortiz at 3rd. Even Contreras, I know he's played a few years in the show, but he's still learning how to be an everyday big leaguer. Setting a standard is so important for veterans to do. And it's not like this is a new thing for Yelly. He's always been a guy that leads by example. He's not a rah-rah, beat-my-chest kind of guy. But he's somebody that is so easy to look up to for the young players on this team because, I hate to say it, Yelly, but you're at an age and at a stage in your career where these guys can remember having seen you play as, like, high schoolers. And, like, it's kind of crazy to think, but 2018 was 6 seasons ago. And you think back 6 seasons ago, like, Joey Ortiz, he was at New Mexico State, right? Watching MVP Yelich from afar. Or Sal Frelick was just getting on campus at Boston College. And Jackson Churio was 14 years old, right? If he could watch in Venezuela, he would have seen plenty of Christian Yelich. So for Yelich to do what he continues to do, do not lose sight of that, in my opinion, because I know we all want a 40-homer, 40-stolen-base season from Christian Yelich. I still find a really, really productive guy that is batting third every day for the Brewers. He's still a 3-4-5 player to this point in the season, a 300 average, a 400 on base, and a 500 slugging. He's not yet a qualified hitter because of all that time missed with the back injury. Give it another 20 games or so if he plays every day and gets 5 plate appearances per game or so. He will be a qualified hitter, hopefully, by the All-Star break. And we could talk about him among league leaders in the rate stats. But man, I'd like to see some more doubles maybe start to churn over here. If Yelich can put together a 20-double, 20-homer, 20-stolen-base season, well, he's already at 15 stolen bases, that's an extremely, extremely valuable player. I just wanted to point that out from Yelich today of something I really liked out of the offense. Talk a little bit about the Padres coming up next as the next opponent for the Brewers. Also some roster moves on the way here for the crew and some of the breaking down what happened today with the roster as well. All that's coming up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 2-0 over the Angels. Now they take the drive down to San Diego. Petco Park. Beautiful ballpark. I love that place. 4-game set over the weekend with the Padres. We'll talk about that next. But first, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is a sponsor of Brewers Extra Innings. And reminder that thunderstorms can happen at any time here in Wisconsin. And as an authorized Generac dealer, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you up to $1,500 on a whole home generator. You can visit Sider.com today, Seider.com. Some more late nights here, same time-ish, 8:40 first pitches each of the next two nights, Thursday night and Friday night, and then Saturday on national television, but don't worry, we're right here for you on WTMJ with the Fox in town on Saturday. That game will start at 6:15 Central Time. And then on Sunday, it'll be a 3:10 Central Time first pitch. Here's the rotation upcoming for the Brewers and the Padres. Bryce Wilson will get the start tomorrow. And there's a lot of righties at the top of the order for the Padres, so I don't imagine we're going to see a Jared Koenig opener coming up here for Bryce Wilson tomorrow. He's going up against Adam Mazur. Mazur 0-2, 7.82 ERA. Friday, Colin Ray against the team that started it all for him, his original franchise, and for Pat Murphy, mind you, going up against Dylan Cease. And Dylan Cease has kind of hit a cold stretch since the Brewers saw him at the end of April. He's 6-6 and a 3.95 ERA. Saturday, Carlos Rodriguez is going to stay in the rotation. He is going to start against Randy Vasquez. He is 1-4, 5.70 ERA. And then finally on Sunday, Tobias Myers against Michael King. So we speculated yesterday, would Tobias go again on this road trip and have him go on Sunday, or would it be Jacob Junis? Well, it seems as though it's going to be Tobias Myers. The note on Jacob Junis is that he is going to rejoin the team this weekend in San Diego. He is going to be activated. Whose place does he take is to be determined. When I look at it with this rotation currently having both Carlos Rodriguez and Tobias Myers in it, that obviously implies that Junis is going to be going straight to the bullpen. So that would mean Bradley Blaylock, hey, thanks for being some depth up for you just in case. Head on back down to Biloxi just like they did with him in AAA or in Miami earlier this year. And I beg your pardon, he was already down in Nashville, not in Biloxi, when he got called up today. So all the moves today, in case you missed it, Tyler Black is back with the team. Part of the reason is because all of those pitchers I listed for the Padres, they're all right-handed. So Tyler's going to get some ABs. Bradley Blaylock, as we just mentioned, was recalled for the second time this year. Hasn't pitched in a game yet. Still waiting on his big league debut. Oliver Dunn was optioned to AAA. Now, that makes sense because he hasn't been playing. He got called back up against the Red Sox a couple of weeks ago, but really hasn't been playing. And Joey Ortiz has got a stranglehold on third base. And Eliezer Hernandez, as we mentioned a moment ago, was designated for assignment. And with that DFA, the 40-man is down to 39. So it makes it easier for Jacob Junis to simply be activated straight back to the 40-man roster. Just need to make room for him on the active roster, which I imagine would be Bradley Blaylock. And Junis on the 60-day, Garrett Mitchell on the 60-day as well. So that's one spot already taken. You'll need to create another for Mitchell. There's been a lot of speculation of what are you going to do? Is it Bowers? Is it one of the outfielders getting optioned? So you want to be in the front office, huh? This is part of the decision that you have to make, right? I could see Bowers. It leaves him a little vulnerable at first base, given Hoskins and Black are not the surest of gloves. But maybe the Brewers just deal with it and wear it on their chin if they need to and keep Black up, because I could see them keeping Black up for a while. They need to get some sort of lefty consistency, and Garrett Mitchell will certainly help when he returns as well. I mentioned a moment ago that the Padres, sort of in a weird funk right now, they are down to 38-40. They did win today. They salvaged the finale against the Phillies and flew back home to San Diego. They're three games under 500 at home. Their run differential is still plus 11 on the season, so indicating they probably should be better than they are. For reference, the Brewers' run differential is plus 66. But, of course, everybody's dealing with injuries, but the Padres are as well. Xander Bogaerts has a fractured shoulder, so he's out for a couple of months. Also have Yu Darvish on the IL right now with a strained groin. You've got Joe Musgrove dealing with elbow inflammation right now, too. And aside from that, they've got some underperformers in their bullpen. Now, the story of their bullpen is Jeremiah Estrada. If you haven't heard about this guy, he has been incredible. Jeremiah Estrada this season, let me just read you his line. 23 innings. He has struck out 41 batters. Some Devin Williams-type numbers there. He's walked 9. He's given up 2 homers. His ERA is 2.70. He had struck out, I believe it was 13 consecutive batters, ranging over 4 appearances. Wild stuff from Jeremiah Estrada, so look out for him against the Padres. As San Diego, they're still in the mix. I mean, the rest of the National League, with all due respect, is really mediocre if you're not L.A., Milwaukee, Philly, or Atlanta. Everybody else is under 500. Heck, Washington is in third place right now. They're only a game under 500 right now in the East. San Diego's still 2 games under. Arizona's 2 games under. San Francisco's 3 games under. The list goes on. Might be a good chance to get to the San Diego Padres. Brewers win tonight, 2-0. On to San Diego. I wonder if they're busing. Maybe they have to take the plane because they got to get the plane home. I don't know. These are things just go through my brain. Whatever. Manager Pat Murphy, he's coming up next. Brewers get the win, 2-0. More after this on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win. 4 straight series wins. That's tough to do, y'all. It's really tough to do. And all the doom and gloom from Monday night, it's all feeling fine now here as we've crossed into Thursday morning. A couple more nights of late-night Brewers tomorrow and Friday as well. Pat Murphy staying up late with us. Here's what he had to say to the media earlier after the win.
No, I thought Freddie was terrific. His focus was really good. He was consistent. When his windup and delivery are consistent, his pace is consistent. He doesn't let the outcome of the pitch or the play affect him. And, you know, he carries all that on him. You know, he expects this. He expects 6 shutout every time, and that's hard. You know, it's Major League Baseball, and he's been around a while. Guys know him, and guys are gunning for him and getting up for him. And, I'm really proud that, Freddie battled the way he did tonight.
I'm sure no one's worried. He's certainly not worried. But after a couple that are a little wobbly, you think it's he needs it? Does any pitcher need the kind of?
Well, I mean, you're just not going to – it's like hitting. You're not going to stay hot the whole year, it's the way it is. You're going to go through ups and downs in this game, and these are the greatest in the world, and they're competing against the best in the world. And there's a fine line between good and great, and that's what they're going to go through. But yeah, it's the support they get from others and their teammates, and that's what makes this whole thing go.
When everyone sees them throwing 60% strikes, how does that impact the play of the team?
Well, I mean, that's what he's got to do. You know, he did have a lot of three-ball counts tonight, a lot of 3-2 counts, but it's a step in the right direction. You know, he's a guy that's potential can beat anybody. When he's throwing the ball as good as he can beat anybody. And, you know, again, I'm really proud of what he did tonight.
Wasn't a lot going on the bases for you tonight. Tyler Anderson's obviously a pretty good pitcher, but you're able to scrape together enough. One in the first, one in the eighth. And
I've been in the dugout with that guy pitching, it seems like 105 times since college. So I respect him a great deal. I really do. I respect him a great deal, and I think he can really pitch. And I'm not surprised when he does this type of thing. But we did just enough. Willie Adames had great at bats all night, taking his walks when he had to, and Yelich, great night again. Terang didn't came up with nothing, but he hit the ball hard a bunch of times and barreled the ball, and you know, Churio barreled a ball that got caught, and Ortiz's defense, tremendous. Gary Sanchez, let's give Gary a shout out, catching three games in a row, and yeah, I thought it was, you know, great job by him, getting on base twice, catching three games in a row. I think first time he's ever caught Freddie, you know, so it's pretty cool.
What about Trevor and his workload the last couple days?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he's got to be able to do. If that's the role you're going to have, you got to be ready to pitch when there's a save opportunity. Doesn't matter how many days in a row. Doesn't matter, you know, if there's a save opportunity, you know, you're used to it. You're our guy right now, and you're ready to go. So the fact that he's been pushed a little bit, that's part of it.
Chucko and Sal makes the catch in that same spot.
Yeah, unnecessary jump again.
Is that a check? Is that still happening?
It's not happening as much. It still lives. The game lives, but we haven't implemented it yet. Sophia's putting together an organization that's going to restart that. That being said, yeah, that's another unnecessary jump by Sal.
That's sarcasm. Sarcasm, don't overreact. He was joking last night that it was an unnecessary jump. Taller guy would have caught it. I'm joking. It's all good. Yeah, it kind of was unnecessary. But it's okay. Still love the play. Brewers win 2-0. Highlights coming up next from a fun night at the Big A on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
All right, rubber game of the series, Angels and Brewers. This was a good ace matchup, if you will. Tyler Anderson going for the Angels. Freddie Peralta needing a bounce back quickly in this one for the crew. The Brewers, in the top of the first inning, started how good innings generally start, with a leadoff walk to Joey Ortiz. Contreras, an infield single. With a one out, Adames drew a walk. It loaded the bases. It's a scuffling Rhys Hoskins, but signs of life.
1-for-7 in the series. The pitch. Swing and a fly ball out to left. It's going to be in the ballpark, but it will be deep enough to score Ortiz as the throw comes into third base. Sacrifice fly for Rhys Hoskins. It's 1-0 Milwaukee.
Jeff Levering on the call. Simple does it. Get the ball in play with the bases loaded, and the Brewers had something good happen to them. Freddie Peralta took off from there. He had a heavy workload in the second inning. He needed 27 pitches to get through the second, but it seemed to click something into gear for him. He recorded 8 strikeouts today in total. He was fantastic. Just 3 hits, all of them singles, but he was faced with some traffic in the 6th inning. Brewers still only with 1 run to their name to this point, as Anderson had really hunkered down. man on second after a ghost balk call that nobody really knows, and also a walk with two outs, had men on the corners with Logan Ohapi at the plate.
Here it is. And a ground ball towards the middle. Terang has it right behind the bag, throws to first in time, and the inning is over. Freddy Peralta gets the job done. Six scoreless innings from the Brewers' ace.
He really needed that. 101 pitches on the day. He would end up earning the victory. Hands things over to the bullpen, and still just a 1-0 game. Brian Hudson, who should be an all-star if you ask me, had the seventh inning, and despite a one-out single, he did what he does best.
0-2 pitch. Breaking ball called, third strike. A beautiful slider from Hudson dropped in there on Stefanik, and he strikes him out looking. And Hudson puts up a zero in the bottom of the seventh.
Righties are now 0-29 against that slider from the lefty, Brian Hudson, with 17 strikeouts. Lane Grindle was on the call there. Top of the eighth inning, it was time for some insurance now that Tyler Anderson was out of the game. But it didn't begin until a two-out walk to Christian Yelich. He would steal second base on the first pitch to Willie. Then two pitches later, finally, some good luck.
1-1 pitch. Floater down the left field line. It's got eyes. It's a fair ball, and the Brewers are going to tack on a huge run. RBI single Willie Adames, 2-0 Brew Crew.
That made you breathe a little bit easier. Hudson returned for the bottom of the eighth inning, and Taylor Ward was at the plate looking for some revenge.
Hudson trying to go clean through the Angels. The pitch. Fly ball, right center. Back is Frelick. Can he do it again? He will jump and make the catch. He took a double away. This one would not have gotten out of the ballpark. But Sal Frelick does it again to Taylor Ward to take an extra base hit away from the number three hitter for the Angels.
And just for good measure, hand the ball to Trevor McGill in the ninth inning, looking for back-to-back nights with the save. And it also was the fourth time in the last 5 days he's worked. No matter, he got the job done.
From Willie Adames, is Theis off the end of the bat, into shallow right. Churio's there, and the Brewers take 2 of 3 from the Angels in Anaheim. Final score tonight, the Brewers 2, and the Angels nothing.
And make it 4 consecutive series wins for the Brewers. We'll wrap up the program after this on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings.
It's Brewers Cubs.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, let's get ready to go to bed. You've got a couple more nights of this. I've been doing pretty good on the coffees. I've just been sticking with one serving of caffeine this week. We're almost there. Two more nights. Tomorrow, virtually the same time. It is a 8:40 first pitch Central Time. So we're on the air at 8:05 with the On Deck Show. Same thing on Friday. Saturday, I've got you covered for Brewers warm-up at 5 o'clock for a 6:15 first pitch. And then on Sunday, it is a 3:10 Central Time first pitch. So I've got you at 2 o'clock for Brewers warm-up. And good to see Tyler Black back in the show. Looking forward to see what we see out of him this week. San Diego is beautiful. Hope to see plenty of Brewers fans there. It will be packed. It will be fun. A 4-game set. Always hard to win 4-game series in the big leagues, and the Brewers will try to make it 5 consecutive series wins before they come home for the Texas Rangers. And then the last meeting for the Cubs at American Family Field in the regular season. You see what I'm saying there. We are almost at the halfway point of the season, believe it or not. The Brewers are a high water mark, 14 games over 500 at 44-30. That's 74 games in. Starting to fly now. I can't believe we're already almost done with June. So that's going to do it for our program here this evening. Reminder, if you got friends who want to listen and aren't familiar with the show, like, hey, we podcast these. Brewers All Access is the feed where you can find all of the postgame shows. And especially useful on these West Coast games, right, where I'm right here in your feed talking about the game last night whenever you get your podcast. So really would encourage you to do that. Also, ratings and likes and reviews, they help a lot more than you realize to help other Brewers fans find us here on the podcast. So we'd certainly encourage you, if you are so inclined, if you enjoy it or if you don't enjoy it, let us know. It's okay. My thanks to our producer, Max Meyerson, for hitting all the producer buttons correctly and rolling through this one, staying up late with us as well. Brewers win 2-0, another series win. Now it's on to San Diego and Petco Park. I'm Dominic Catronio. Good night, and until next time, keep on swinging.